We're going back to our mission, my friends, and we're going to be focusing on this upper half. Okay, this is the Making Disciples funnel. This came about 5 or 6 years ago. Before I was pastor here, I thought, I didn't come from a church background, and so I came from a place where we just really focused on smaller groups. And I thought to myself, you know, church, as we see church, really corporate worship, which is what we are all doing right now, this isn't the easy. Sometimes we get under this misconception that, well, if you just have a lot of people on Sunday morning and the parking lot is full and enough things are going well, then we're successful. But Jesus never told us to have a really busy, big Sunday morning, did he? He never said that bigger is better. In fact, I think he modeled something very different than that. And that is why our mission really focuses itself down into smaller and smaller and smaller groups. From corporate worship, which is what we do now, to Wednesday night, which Tom talked about, our small groups, which we'll highlight a little bit next week. Quest, which is a year-long discipleship program, very small groups, teaching people how to study and read and feed themselves in the Word and abide in the vine of Jesus, and then all the way down to one-on-one mentoring. And really the goal of Bayside Church, our mission, is not that we would have a whole ton of people on Sunday mornings. Now, that is a fine and a good thing, but there are no disciples, so to speak, that are made on Sunday morning. We can have a good message, we can worship the Lord together, we can praise Him because Jesus paid it all, and I think this is good, and this is fine, but this is not the heart of what I believe the New Testament picture of church and the making of disciples is. And so that's why our mission here goes down and it gets smaller and smaller. Okay, and so this funnel, and this looks like a funnel and it's shaped like a funnel, is really the foundation of this base in one word. You know, and I think this word is very important for us to know because I think if we miss the word, if we miss this one word as the why we do this, then we will just do this to do this. And it will get very religious. And it will get very much like we're just doing the right thing just to do the right thing. If we miss this one word, and I think this one word is so key, so important, that if we miss it, we'll really miss the heart of what Jesus ultimately called us to do. Now, does anybody want to be bold and guess what that one word is? You can just speak it out. What's the one word? Yeah. Love. Very good. Love is that one word. I had somebody in the first service say Jesus. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it could have been Jesus. But I told them they were wrong. Jesus is normally a very good answer in church. But and He is the foundation, of course. But really, really love. If we miss love, if we miss the deep, sincere, true meaning and heart of what love is, we can do this, but it'll be motivated impossible. And so what we're going to do over this next month is we are going to go back, we're going to look at our mission, but we're going to look at it through the lens, if you will, of love. Now, just saying that word, if you're a Quest student or you've been through Quest, you say love has become a cliche word because it is used so much in so many different ways and so many with a variety of ways that people say they love, that it's almost a meaningless word. And so what we're going to try to do over this next month is to help us, we're not going to do it all this morning, but we are going to define, not through a scholarly definition necessarily, but we are going to define love. Because if we grasp love at its core, at its foundation, then I think we'll do our mission with the right motivation. So I want to pray. I want to ask that the Lord would really be with us, that He'd be honored and glorified, and that our hearts would be turned, prepared, softened to know love in a different way. And I also want to pray that our church, because this is my heart, that our church would be more loving. That Bayside would be more defined as a loving community of people. That we would love God better, and we would love others better. That's my heart, and I think that's a lot of yours as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to do that. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and Lord, we have already sung about love. We've already corporately told you that we love you, and we do. God, we've already celebrated and remembered your love for us. And God, I pray that during this next season of time, this month maybe, Lord, that we would know love to a greater degree than we do, that we would live love to a greater degree than we do. God, that you, only you would motivate us, stir us up to know your love and to live your love in fellowship, in community, in this family to a greater degree. So God, again, I can't do that. We can't do that. That has to be a deep work of your Holy Spirit. So we pray for you, Holy Spirit, now to be with us in this time. We love you. We really do. And we thank you that you love us. So God, just be with us now. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So love. Here's a couple of love thoughts. This is not exhaustive. Maybe you've experienced young love or old love. Maybe puppy love, poor love. There used to be a love boat. And for some of you who are old enough, you may know of a love potion number. Yeah, thank you. We have love poems. We have love songs. We have love verbs. According to the internet, you can go on the love calculator. Okay, we have a love doctor. And there are apparently five very important love languages that we must know. Most movies, most books, most great stories have at their core this aspect, this thing called love. We have the love of a father. We have the love of a mother. We have the love of a parent to a child. Love can stir our hearts. Love can warm our hearts. Love can break our hearts. And love can mend a broken heart. Love is an emotion. Love is a decision. Love is a deep need that every single one of us have. We all have a need to feel that we are loved. Every single person in this room needs to feel that they are loved. It's the foundation of our faith. I think if you could wrap up God's word and you boiled it down to one word, that word may just be love. It is at the core of who we are as followers of Jesus. An entire chapter is dedicated to that one word, the word of love. I personally love a sunrise. It was a beautiful one this morning. I also love, personally, a big steak on the grill. Can I get an amen? I love my wife. I love my children. And I love Jesus. What is love? How do we define this word? We feel it at times. We act on it at times. We need it all the time. But what is it? What is love? We're going to look over this next month at what love is and how love has to be the motivator to do what we do in anything so that we can have a proper understanding of what love is so we can do love better as a community. I want to begin studying love in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses, and I think this will set the foundation. This will be the absolute key foundation for what love is. 1 John 4, we're going to start at the last three words of verses. Starts with three words. Let's read these three words together. God is love. Let's read them one more time. God is love. This is really significant because love is not something that God simply does. God does love, but it's more than that. It's deeper than that. This is a part of his character. This is his nature. Love is who God is as much as what he does. And we need to see that love at its core is God. God is love. We would never know love, we would never act on love if it wasn't who he is. We got to grasp first that our God is a God who loves because he is love. Let's keep going, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest, or love among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. He's going to say it again now in verse 10 in a little different way. In this is love. Now he's going to say, this is love. First of all, God is love. Now he's going to say, here's how you saw love. Here's how love was shown to you. This is the picture of love. And this is love. Not that we have loved God. See, sometimes I think we feel that Christian love is based in our love for him, but it's not. Not that we loved God. Look what it says. It's that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation just means like an atoning sacrifice. It takes back to the Old Testament. And when they would have the mercy seat, where the place where the sacrifice would be, and that would sort of calm God's wrath. And that sacrifice would calm the wrath of God because of the sin of the Israelites. And now Jesus became that mercy seat. He became that atoning sacrifice. So the wrath of God was now satisfied. And what he's saying is, this is love. Love is God, and love is not that we love him, but that he loves us. What did this love cause him to do? It caused him to send his Son. The love of God motivated the sending of Jesus. So I think we've heard that. If you've been coming to church, you've heard that a lot. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. We've heard that. But that is love. Think about this. The heart of love is the cross of Jesus Christ. The heart of love is the cross. The truest, deepest, most sincere love that the world has ever known was the love that God had in the sending of Jesus. So I want us to think about something for a minute, because I think we talk about that so much. And it's become cliche to us in some ways. Oh yeah, I've heard that. John 3:16, yep, memorized it. Yep, awesome. But have we thought about the fact that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus? He didn't send Jesus just to come to this earth to teach. He didn't send Jesus to come to this earth just to be an example for us, even though he did those two things. He didn't come to this earth because it was some kind of a wonderful mission. He came to this earth to be killed. God's love sent his Son to this earth to be sacrificed, to be killed, to become an atoning sacrifice for us. He sent his Son. The love of the Father was so deep and so true that he gave his Son. So to die, to be crucified, even though the Son had done nothing, he gave his Son to be crucified. And that is the deepest form of love that there is. Now I want us to think about a couple of things. Can you imagine giving yourself to die? Can you imagine giving yourself to die for someone else? Okay, what? Maybe if it's a loved one. Let's say it's somebody you deeply love, a great friend or a family member. Maybe you would die for somebody like that. But would you die for somebody you didn't really know well? Or would you die for your deepest enemy? Would you die to the person that has made your life miserable this week? Would you die for the person who is overseas persecuting and killing Christians today? Would you die for them? Parents, let's take this to a deeper level if you are. Would you allow your child to be killed for someone else? Would you send your child to die for your worst enemy? Would you do that? I wouldn't. Would you send your greatest friend? You know, sometimes it's almost easier to send yourself. But would you send the person you love the most on this planet, would you send them to die for someone else? Can you imagine the love of the Father that willingly sent the Son to be killed, to be sacrificed, sacrifice to die, not because we've done it all right or continue to do it all right, but he sent us to die when we were the furthest away from him. When we were rejecting, when we were rebelling, when we were living our own life, God sent his son to die in those moments. The love of the Father, can you grant it? I don't think I can. I don't think I can grasp the depth and the height of the love of a Father for us that would send his very son to be killed. Can we grasp that type of love? Can you imagine the Creator? God is the Creator. Jesus did a lot of the handiwork. The Creator of everything that is, creating you and me. Can you imagine the Creator creating something and then that creation messing it up? Rebelling against you and messing it up. And then thinking, you know what? The Creator, I think I'll send myself to be the creation. Can you imagine the love, the humble love that it would take for the Creator to become the creation for the sake of the creation because the creation messed it up? Can you imagine that love? I don't think I can. We talk about the love of the Father, but do we grasp it in its depth, in its height? If we're going to know love, if we are going to know why we do this, it has to begin with the love of the Father. It has to begin with the deep stirring inside of us that says, God, you love me with the love that I don't even know if I can say it back. Now, this morning, you may be here and you may be thinking, you may have come here to God. I don't even know if anybody wants me. I don't know if anybody really loves me, but I want to tell you, somebody loves you. The Heavenly Father loves you with the depth and the sacrificial giving kind of a love that is so deep and so true. Or maybe you know somebody loves you, but you haven't thought on the Father's love for a while. So deep and true and sincere and sacrificial and gracious that love is. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this in a little different order. Many times we receive communion at the end, but I really want to receive communion right now. And the reason is because this, everything that we do, it has to be based foundationally in the love of God displayed in the sacrifice of Jesus. And so I want us to just take a few moments and reflect on how deep God's love must be for us. How incredible, sacrificial, the giving, the sending, the laying out of his son for us, how deep that must be. And so I want to pray. I want to ask you to prepare your hearts as we pray, to think on, to remember the love of God which motivated you to give his son. As I do that, I want to encourage you to head back. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to receive this. Father, I do not think we fully grasp your love, but we thank you for it. God, I thank you that you loved us with a love that is so deep and so true and so high, God, that we can't even see it in its fullness, but Lord, we can be thankful for it, and we do that. And we proclaim that we receive that love, that gift of Jesus Christ paying for our sin. As we said, every sin that we have ever committed, past, present, or future, you paid it all on the cross. And Jesus, we praise you for it. God, I pray that in this time we would dwell on, think on your love, an incredible love that did something that I don't think any of us would ever do. Father, we praise you, we worship you, we pray for this time of communion, and may it draw us together. May it help us to understand love as one body. We thank you in Jesus' name. We have to understand, we have to live, and we have to continue to take our minds back to the cross if we are going to be motivated properly to love. You know, last week I said our straight pads for our feet are one hand reaching up to love the Lord. And one hand reaching out into the lives of unbelievers. And that idea of loving and loving is based in Matthew 22. I want to read those verses. Loving God and loving people. Someone asked Jesus, what's the great commandment? They were testing him, but Jesus explained it. And they said, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he, Jesus, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And now let's pause for a moment right there. You see, because God is love and because God loves us, now we have motivation now to reach up and to love God, sacrifice, give our all for him. See, Jesus gave his all for us. He gave himself. Now we, you see all those alls, we have no limitation in the amount of sacrificial giving we can now give to the Lord. We can give to him fully our very selves. We can, if you will, write the blank check of our life and hand it to him. And we can say, Lord, whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I do it not because it makes a lot of sense to do it. I do it because you love me that way. To many people, I think, in our culture, because they don't understand God's love, they don't understand our response to God's love. You're going to do what? You don't care about what? You don't laugh at those kind of jokes? You don't watch that? You don't do that? That's weird. No, that's because we have now given our all to him because he gave his all to us. So we live differently because Christ loves us, because God's love sent his son and he saved us. So we live differently and we love God. Sacrifice, remember, love is sacrifice and a gift. We sacrifice and now give ourselves back to the Lord because of what he did for us. Let's keep going. He's going to talk about the second one. And the second is like it. The second, and this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. So now we love God with everything that we are, and now we love others as we naturally love ourselves. See, we will, most of us, unless something is really bizarre, most of us will naturally take care of ourselves. For the most part, we will provide for our needs. We will take care of ourselves. Now, some of us don't love ourselves quite enough because we don't quite take care of ourselves. You know, you can love yourself not quite enough. Just like that, you can love others not quite enough. If you love yourself a little too much, you may be loving others a little too little. Or if you're loving yourself not quite enough, you might love others a little too much. So there's this balance of things. As you take care of yourself, as you meet your own needs, think of others in the same way. So now what do? We reach one end up and we love God with everything. And then we love each other as ourselves. So I put together what I'm going to call the sequence of love. This is pretty simple. Just four little things that I think we have to understand is that we go through how we are going to love and through this mission, how we're going to love others. Number one, we talked about these two early. God is love. It's who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. It's just a part of who God is. Number two, God loves us. So this is the sequence. This is the order. We have to grasp this or we won't love others or God, probably with the right motivation. God loves us. Number three, we love God. Now in response to that incredible love of God that's been poured into our hearts, we now love him back. He gave himself. We now give ourselves. We love him. Number four, we love others. We now reach out to other people who are in need. And all this month, we are going to be talking about how we do that. How do we very practically love others through our mission? Each week, we're going to highlight a different part of our mission. We have to understand that this is the motivation for that mission. If we don't understand this, we will do a lot of this for the wrong reason. If we understand this, we will be stirred up and motivated internally to do this. If we know that God is love and that he loved us, we will then sign the blank check of our life over to him and say, God, my life is yours. And what he will do is he will begin to motivate and stir you up to say, well, now you know what? Now I'm going to send you off into the life of other people. God is love. God loves us. We love God. we love others. The first minister that we're going to highlight, and I've talked about this a couple times in the last few months, is called Stephen Moody. It's a new one here at Bayside, and I'm going to ask Mark Rookmull, come on up. Mark is the coordinator, director of this ministry. Mark, if you know this, he's on staff here at Bayside. He is the director of the bottom half of the funnel of love, right? Yes, okay, good. And Mark has become now the coordinator of student ministry. So, Mark, first of all, thanks for all you do. You're a friend, you're a coworker, you're an incredible staff person here. Tell us, if you would, what is the heart of student ministry, and how does it kind of relate to our mission of making it?
Well, the heart of student ministry is to be with the ones who love us, and to build their one another's lives, to keep them all together, to keep changing their lives, and to equip not only to be ministering to each other, but to the body of the promise of love.
Also kind of fits down in sort of the broken grieving when somebody's just having a hard time. It's a one-on-one ministry that helps in that season. Now, you said a phrase, and that phrase comes from Galatians 6:2. Let's read this. This is one of the baseline verses, right, for student ministry. Why don't you read this just in the complex?
Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Okay, so it says bear. Now, first of all, what does it mean in your mind to bear somebody's burdens? What does that mean?
Would mean to come alongside to help them
carry the load. Okay, so a burden is a load or a heaviness. Anybody got any loads or heaviness or something that's weighing us? Yeah, we all have that. And if you don't have it now, just get ready because you'll have a season where you do coming up soon. We all, another motivational talk this morning. We all have seasons that are tough, right? We all do. And what Stephen ministry is just one person in the body walking alongside another person in the body when they're having a rough time. Now, it says bear one another's burden. So why don't you tell us what bearing is not?
Well, what is it not? It's fixing a problem. It's like providing a solution. Bearing someone's burden is walk with them.
Right, but that's hard for us, right? Because we want to fix it. Don't when somebody's going through a tough time, don't you want to fix it? You want to fix the problem. Okay, I want to get the solution. You know, bearing one another's burdens is not necessarily fixing or giving a solution. It's just walking alongside it. Bringing the love of Christ. Now, this reminds me of when Jesus was going to Golgotha and he was walking, and it said this man was compelled, Simon of Cyrene, and he was compelled to carry the cross of Jesus. And I don't know if you've seen the Passion of the Christ movie, but I love the part where Simon comes in and the cross is on Jesus' back, and Simon comes and he puts his arm around him like this, and they sort of walk it together. Did you remember that scene where Simon, he helped carry the cross for a period of time? And is that kind of a picture of Stephen ministry?
That's actually exactly the picture of this. Coming alongside of someone that is dealing with something heavy, something a crisis, a life change, something that is from the
cross. Okay, so like Simon didn't fix the cross, he wasn't the solution for the cross. He didn't take Jesus away from the cross. He just walked with him for a period of time and helped carry the load of the cross. And that's the ministry. So now, how do you think in your mind, what would it be like if you were the care receiver? Not necessarily the caregiver. What would it feel like, be like to receive care from a Stephen minister in a time of burdens and heaviness?
Well, life really is a first call to meet someone that you love or hurt. And if you can think of a number of things that takes us off our feet. In these times of crisis, those burdens and heaviness, a lot of times our families and family just numb. I mean, that's neutral. We get together with each other, and we'll be with you. But inevitably, in those circumstances, after a period of time, 2 or 3 months, or however long it is, they have to reenter into their own lives. They have to go back to work. They have to start dealing with their own families and their own issues. State of ministry is one of the ministry that after these times, someone can be assigned to that person with that person, walk with them a long time, be with that person, that builds in the person after all of this. And it's with a huge deal in an individual's life who's walking through that tough time, and it gives them sort of not a solution, not an answer, but it just gives them a person.
It does.
That they can meet with. Okay, so like, what's the qualification then to become a student minister?
The qualification to become a student minister is really basically to be compassionate, be trustworthy, and someone that has a love for Christ and understands the love of God, that someone is willing to commit and extend that love into someone else's life.
Okay, so if somebody's received the love of God, then in some ways they're qualified.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's all of y'all. That means we're all, in some ways, probably qualified.
Yes.
Now, there is a process, so tell us what's involved in that process of becoming one.
The first step is to fill out an application. And you can get one from me or from the table out back. You can call the office or just ask somebody that's on the team at where one's at. Fill out the application and then have an interview with myself and Rich or one of the teams. Just to kind of go through the different expectations.
Okay. And we have the leadership team, and you guys went down to, you got a picture of them. Where did you go?
St.
Louis, and you had training for how long?
For a week, for a long
50 hours or something. Yeah, and these three went down, and these are now the Stephen Ministry trainers. They came back up, and they will be kind of motivating, encouraging, and seeing the whole process of bringing Stephen Ministry here to be done. The reason we want to do it is because we want to love each other better, right? And we practically do that through Stephen Ministry. So talk to us, what's the training? What is that all involved in the training of Stephen Ministry?
Well, the first training is going to start in October. And it's expensive. It's 2.5 hours for 20 weeks. Okay? And we'll be talking about teaching active listening skills. We'll be teaching you to be able to identify someone who's really going into a process and what you do. And also, it's the type of training that will better every part of your relationships. All parts of
your life. So this is a big sacrifice. One of the number one treasures that we have is a four-letter word that starts with T. Time. Time is a huge deal in our culture. This is a big sacrifice of time. One of the verses that I love in Scripture says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now that's reversed. We many times think, well, if I have a heart for this, then I'll get involved. What the Bible is saying is if you put your treasure there, your heart will follow. If you're not feeling the sense of compassion, you need to put a little of your time into that ministry, and then your heart will follow. And so part of this training is developing a heart, a renewed heart for people. Is that fair? Okay, so now you were in Sri Lanka, and we're excited to have you back. Your planned ministry was teaching Quest to kind of pastors, right? Training and equipping pastors. And then we're going to take this, and it was translated into their language, and now it's two different languages, and now it's going out to the Sri Lankan people, and you heard some reports of some of the cool things, and that was amazing. Now, there was an unplanned sort of a Stephen ministry moment that you told me about that I love for you. What happened in Sri Lanka, I think it's the heart of the ministry. We, towards the end of the trip, we went down to the coast of the Temple. And the purpose of going down to the trip was, number one, the pastor that we helped them interact with his family. There's a lot of persecution, a lot of things that go on. This was really a present by God to his family to give them a little bit of refreshment. Another opportunity was we had a lot of attacks, and this is just one more chance in a different environment to have different pressures to different people that we might see. Three of us children came with us, one was 13, one was 20, and one was 14. And one of them had never seen the ocean before in their life. Very excited. So we were there, the first day we were there, towards the evening, and the three little girls came up to me. And I could see the things in their eyes that they had just experienced the control. And they were in shock.
We really, really do. The greatest thing we can do, I think, and this is our part, is not just to tell you that we love you, but it's to equip and to help and to make disciples. Because that there is nothing that is more effective in helping someone achieve what God has built them to achieve than making a disciple of Jesus. And so the motivation is very deep, and I think Stephen ministry is a very practical, it's a heavy training. We get that. So one of the things I like about it, I think many times we train very minimally. This is a heavy training because you are going to feel confident and equipped to go into formal Stephen ministry settings and ones that just pop up when you don't feel ready and you don't feel prepared. But this is an equipping that will help you. So let's just answer it. If somebody is wondering or questioning, they're thinking maybe the Lord is stirring something up in them to do this, what are some options that they have for getting involved? Well, you can come and talk with me on one of my teammates. You can understand the table out there that you can go and get some questions answered and pick up an application. And if you can fill back in the corner, this corner back here, and there's all sorts of options like on that table. And the reason is we spent money we didn't have. That may be different. We went in faith. That's what it's better. To train these folks, and so if you want to be a part of helping provide some of that, there's a little offering plate you can help do that. The other thing, though, is that Wednesday, you're going to be here, and you can answer, you're going to be around and to answer questions on student ministry, or maybe give a little Sri Lanka history, and that'll be Wednesday, the 20th of September. Okay, so Mark is going to be around the student Wednesday as well. We want to do this. We want to do this because of Galatians 6:2. We have to remember Galatians 6:2 is basically God is love, God loves us, we love God, and now we love others. And this is a very practical way that we can love others. Let's read this together and let's try to let this sink into us so that we say, you know what? I'm going to be a burden bearer. I'm going to do this whether I sign up for Stephen ministry or not. I am going to live my life with one hand that is out bearing one another's burdens. I'm going to be willing to step out of my own zone and step into somebody else's hurt and just be there. I may not fix it, I may not solve it, but I'm going to be willing to just be there and to walk with them like Simon did. So let's read this together, everybody. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. To the law of Christ is displayed in the sacrifice of Christ, which is motivated by the very love of the Father. Our hope, our prayer is that you know and experience the love of God. And then that you experience the love of giving back to Him sacrificially. And then the privilege, the blessing, the unselfish blessing, and it is worth. When you step into a life that is hurting, it's hard to make the decision to go there, but when you do it, the blessing. The blessing of bearing one another's burdens. What a privilege we have in doing that. Mark, will you close us in prayer this evening? Father, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for sacrificing for us. Thank you for doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves and bringing the Lord to us. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit and empowering us to be able to be your ambassador. Give us the